All right, so you've all been hearing about the FCC and the new ruling about communications and the internet and what have you. I'm really happy to have in the studio Sean McLaughlin. He is the executive director at Access Humboldt. And we are going to have a conversation about what is happening and what it possibly means to you, and also what you can do about it if you have any concerns about the new FCC ruling. Welcome to the KHSU Magazine, Sean. I'm glad to have you here in the studio.
Aloha. Thanks.
Aloha.
Glad to be here.
So why don't we start by telling listeners this has been going on a long time, as you mentioned, and let's just jump in there when the internet first surfaced, a quick...
Okay. Sure. I think it's really helpful to remind folks, the internet started off really operating on the phone network, and you had dial-up internet, and people used their telephone to connect to an internet service, and then the machines talked to each other on each end of the phone line, and that magically connected you to this.
I'm laughing. It seems so long ago.
It was magic. It was magic. You remember.
I remember.
Those who were there. Yeah. Now dial-up is a terrible joke and people hate it. And if you still have it, it's like, oh my God, what's wrong?
Yes.
But the point is,
you could access anything.
You were on a phone network. So basically, there's a regulation of that phone network is common carriage. That is, I can call you, I can call that internet provider, I can call the other internet provider, I can call my cousin, I can call my uncle, I can call my enemy, I can call my friend, I can call my political, you know, whatever. I can make any call I want.
You can call.
I can talk about whatever I want to talk about.
No one is getting in the way.
The words aren't getting bleeped out, or I'm not getting redirected to hear an ad before I get to talk to you.
This is what's happening now.
So yeah, this, exactly.
I'm foreshadowing.
Yes. But so we did start with an open internet, with basically net neutrality means common carriage, means I can connect to you or to anyone else. End to end, we have a connection,
yes.
And that connection is not biased. It's neutral. That
neutral.
Connection will connect me to whoever I request, and it will give me an unfiltered connection between me and that connection. So along comes cable TV gets involved, and so there's legal regulatory things that I'll brush past initially.
Well, this has been going through a political and legal, ping pong game,
right? So
basically,
So historically, 20 years ago, when cable got into the internet game, there was actually went to the Supreme Court a ruling called Brand X, ironically, which was a test of can the FCC decide whether internet is a phone service or an information service, Title I or Title II under the federal act. And basically, the court decided it's up to the FCC to make that determination. They are the expert agency. They're an independent agency of government, 5 commissioners, and they make decisions about things like how do we treat internet service. So the legal authority was really clearly has been, or, and then there's been ups and downs. So at that point, regulatory.
So yeah, this is where it becomes political.
It's always political, but
okay.
So back then, after Brand X, the FCC said, "Oh, we can decide. It's not a cable service. We knew that." And we didn't like it being a telephone service, so we're going to call it an information service under Title I, which means we don't really regulate it. So have at it, internet. And there was a big hue and cry. So this was the first wave of net neutrality, open internet concern. And we started seeing the networks, operators, take measures that really scared people. So things have actually happened to indicate the problem, like... I forget the exact players, but a provider decided that their competitor's service shouldn't be available on their phone, so you couldn't get FaceTime depending on who your provider was or what kind of phone you're using. So different services were available or not
Someone
available.
Someone was getting in the way.
The network itself was deciding based on a business relationship that they had with somebody else, they were deciding who you could reach or not. So we've seen little examples of that already. And over time, it built up. And back in 2015 was really a landmark situation where finally the FCC said, you know what? We've tried doing it under Title I. Didn't work. So they implemented a new rule that it was actually going to be considered a Title II service. It should be common carriage. Open internet. Those are called the open internet ruling. And that was challenged in court and survived. Mm-hmm. An appeals court hearing in the D.C. Circuit. that said, yep, you can do that. You can decide it's Title II and you can regulate it like Title II. So that was, that court decision was in June of 2016. So we're really
very recently.
Yeah. So we're not, the latest iteration has sort of, is actually quite recent.
And the latest iteration is,
the latest iteration is pulling the plug on the regulation. Basically, the new FCC under President Trump named one of the commissioners, Ajit Pai, as the chair, and named another commissioner. So now it's a 3-2 split. It's a very, the FCC itself, while it's independent, is very political. So the new majority decided, you know what? Let's just pull the plug on the whole thing. They adopted a ruling
Amazing.
That would make it back to Title I and would make it basically unregulated.
And explain briefly what that means for you and me.
Well, what it could mean, if it actually happens, because right now it's going to get held up in court initially. It'll be challenged
okay,
in court.
Okay, so what do you think is going to happen? Do you think it's going to be upheld or the ruling?
That's an open question. I'd say 50-50.
You think 50-50?
It depends on which court it goes to and the history of the rulings, the resources involved.
Yeah. Okay. So go
we
ahead.
We like to think it would fall under legal challenge.
And you had mentioned, and we'll talk about this at the very end, what you can do if you'd like to keep it neutral. So go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, so we'll come back to that. But so if those rules are taken away, we'll see the things that we saw before, which is certain, depending on who your internet provider is, if you're on Suddenlink and Suddenlink has a deal with Disney, but they don't have a deal with Fox, then you'll see Disney programming over your internet connection, but you won't see Fox programming over your internet connection unless you pay extra. It'll be degraded. It'll be throttled. They're paid prioritization. That is, they'll always appear first, and you'll have to get through them to get to the next thing. So there's things that the network does. Now, the other very important thing that's little talked about is privacy protection. It turns out privacy protection goes with Title II designation. It's not just open internet.
So it also got thrown out.
So basically they just tossed out all of your privacy protections at
and
the same
privacy
time.
And privacy protection is briefly...
The network, these smart networks are paying attention to where you go and who you connect with. And it helps make them more efficient, but it also gives them a lot of personal information about you. Gee, we noticed you kept going to this... childbirth site. Maybe we know something, so we're going to start selling you things for babies. Or, you know, mm-hmm. basically the network is it actually does monitor
does
the
already,
users
yeah. mm-hmm.
just to operate.
Yeah.
The question is, what do they do with the information they get from you?
Yes.
Do they have your permission to gather it? Do they have your permission to share it or to sell it? Right now, there are certain protections that, yes, they have to get your permission for certain uses. They can't sell your personal data without your permission, but those rules are now gone. Those rules are now gone.
Amazing.
So you don't have that kind of, the network itself will be listening to where you go and using that information, either selling it or using it to mm-hmm. sell you other things.
And so this benefits who?
The network owners. I mean, we've...
Network owners.
Right. So AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, the actual network connection providers.
Right. They just got New Frontier.
Right. And Frontier is another one, actually, in Humboldt, another company, by the way. But yeah, they just opened up a whole new cash machine
right.
where they can now charge for stuff that they could never charge
Which
for
Which is this
before.
New jobs. It'll bring jobs. This is what I think.
Well, they argue that this will spur investment
right.
and innovation
right.
and all of that. But what they're confusing that's very disconcerting to people who watch this is it's not the person connecting you is not the same as what you're connecting to. So if I use my internet connection to go to Google or to Yahoo, Google and Yahoo are not being regulated now at all. And how they are being regulated, but through the Federal Trade Commission and monopoly stuff. But right now, there's other policies that affect Google and Facebook and Twitter. Those are considered edge providers. They're not affected by this ruling, other than they will now have to pay the networks to reach you. So they've been opposed to this change because as edge services, they need that network to get to
open
mm-hmm. so they can choose to get to you.
Yes.
Or not, or you can get to them.
Yes.
So that's part of the dynamic here.
Thank goodness.
The edge services are not there's been a little dynamic there, but I think the providers have tried to confuse the issue and say, well, why would you treat the network different than the edge service provider? Well, because I have to go through you to get to anybody else. I choose whether to go to that edge service or to Yahoo or Google or whatever it is, Bing or DuckDuckGo. If I want a search engine that's not tracking me, I might use DuckDuckGo. If I want to use a video conferencing service that doesn't track my data, I could choose that. So you can basically choose to protect your privacy and choose what you do with an open internet.
Right.
Once the network is not open anymore, you may not have those choices, yes, or they might be very hard to find, or you may have to pay extra to reach them.
Right.
So it's really a erosion of our basic freedom of speech and our ability to communicate. I mean,
what can we do?
This is a horrific. So what we can do in the very near term, within 60 days of the FCC action, Congress can overturn it. So there's what's called a congressional resolution of approval or disapproval. So that whether this Congress is going to take that action is a big open question. But I would say,
what do you think? 50-50 again?
Maybe. This is a huge issue. Very unpopular.
Very.
I think the strategy for the industry.
But what isn't unpopular at the moment?
Well, I think it could happen. I think it could get overturned.
Yes.
But you're right. It depends on people reaching out
the
and
wind.
Call your congresspeople and our congressmen.
So we can call our congresspeople about this.
That's right. Jared Huffman has been a huge ally and a big supporter. I think he would certainly be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, his colleagues need to hear about it as well. But our congressional delegation has been strong, and I think they need to know, though, that it's important. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage listeners to talk to your county supervisors, talk to your city council members. I mean, every local jurisdiction ultimately can take some actions that will push back on this. I mean, the ultimate long-term solution from our point of view is we start building local networks that we know we can manage them to be open networks. We can maintain a transparent, open network locally and then connect those networks to each other and basically rebuild a communication system that respects the users.
And we could do that.
Retains, mm-hmm. We can do it incrementally, you know, community by community.
Interesting. That's
our thing. I mean, there are places that are doing that already.
Shop local.
Exactly. Well, this is the big, actually, we didn't even talk about that, but the big harm of net neutrality is all the local shops cannot afford to buy their way to your attention. So they will not be able to reach markets the way they can now. And it'll be like putting a strip mall of franchise outlets from national conglomerates to take over the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way to
It's fascinating. We could go on and on. You've been listening to Sean McLaughlin. He's the executive director at Access Humble. It's time now for Food for Thought. Any closing thoughts, Sean McLaughlin, where you can find out more information on the internet?
Well, I would say Access Humble will stay involved. So please consider joining us and contact accesshumble.net is our website. And just we will be tracking these issues.
And maybe you'll come back and we can keep this going, the conversation, and let listeners know.
I think we have to know it's going to be an ongoing.
Okay, that's a standing invitation.
Okay.
And come back on Fridays. We'll get you in here to discuss it and see what's happening. We can make some predictions.
It'll be ongoing.
Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Aloha.